I'm Tass Mellis of The Starters.
This is Ben Golver with the Open Floor Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ludlow from NBA Inside Stuff.
I'm OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, I'm Elena Donon, and welcome to the Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Double Clutch Podcast. I'm one of your usual hosts, Mike Miller. Tonight I'm joined once again by Mr. Tom Hall. How you doing, fella?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm now making a thing of having tech issues before we start every show. So Black Friday needs to hurry up so I can get myself a discounted PC, which they won't even probably discount, so I'll pay the price I would have paid a month ago when I should have bought it, like Kirk told me to. Shout out to Kirk for setting all this up, making the magic happen, and somehow talking me through how to do things, at least like my remote tech server, or, you know, tech help. It's great. But we have a guest on today, and it is none other than Mr. Josh Bett. So what goes into being a basketball commentator?
Well, I'll tell you what, started in 2014. It was in my last year of university. My father had been, after he finished coaching the British Basketball League, his last season was 2005. He'd done some work with the 2004 Olympics, and I think that was through Eurosport. So he'd done it for years, and it used to be done in a place called Felton. Now, he actually got me a chance to do a women's EuroLeague game in 2014. And I think I did two games at the time, and then I didn't hear back from the company ever again. The Basketball Champions League came in 2016, and my father just moved to Canada. So they were looking for commentators for the new competition. I was very lucky to be chosen to get the nod, and year after year, I just kept getting more work from the Champions League, and just over time, I've tried to develop into the kind of commentator I am. I do get a lot of my favorite stick is he tries to sound American. That's my favorite criticism. But I think what people don't understand is my whole life I've never gone to a British school. Well, that's actually incorrect. I went to British school up to the age of 7. And I was educated and grew up at the American School of England, TASSES. So I've been surrounded by Americans my whole life. I've lived 2 years as a college basketball player in Pennsylvania and Maine. So my it's not an alter ego. It's just when I'm talking basketball, I tend to have a propensity to sound American, I guess. But I mean, I don't notice it, but people keep telling me.
There is definitely a twang, I'm not going to lie. The first time I heard you, before I knew you, I was just like, is he English? Is he... But, you know... It's your accent. What are you going to do? That's just how you sound. Nothing wrong with it. So all those people can just do one. But yeah, we're going to talk lots of NBA today. In fact, we've got so much to get through and really not enough time to cram it all into 56 minutes. So if you're not already, make sure you're following us at Double Clutch UK on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you're not on our Discord community server, get in there. It's discord.me/doubleclutch. And if you're listening back to this, why not come and watch it live? Because we're live right now on twitch.tv/doubleclutchuk. So much to get through. They've had a sort of schedule come out of what the events are going to look like through the year, which is totally different, but we're not really going to touch on that at all. The Pope had an audience, or rather,
how random
the NBA
that?
Had an audience with the Pope today. I was just like, what? So there was I don't know what you'd call it, like a party of NBA players and union representatives ended up at the Vatican, which is just not something I expected to see today. It's probably the strangest free agency story so far, apart from that trade that the Thunder just did at the end yesterday, I think it was, or early this morning. It's all blurring into one. But it is free agency. It's the carnage of free agency. There have been loads of moves. I think I saw a tweet that 89% of roster spots have now been filled, so we are nearing the end. Tom, I'm going to come to you first. Who do you think the big winner of this compressed offseason, so we can include the draft as well, but who do you think the big winner is of free agency so far?
It's tough. There's a few teams up there. I'm always a big fan of the blow it up like style of doing it. So I'm a big fan of what OKC have done, not just taking in players that other teams don't want and getting picks for them, but then flipping those players as well and still somehow managing to get positive assets for them. So I'm a big fan of that. I do think, though, and I'm very reluctant to say it, the Lakers, for me, have been the big winners. Considering they had such tight restrictions, they somehow managed to duck and dive and to find ways around all of it and to get all these players in that, I mean, they had no shortage of people taking the mick last year for the absolute crapshoot of a roster that they had around LeBron and AD. This year, they've actually managed to get in some players that can do a job when neither of those are on the court. So credit to them, they're my winners.
Yeah, I completely agree. One of the things they preach about being successful is to have consistency throughout the roster, like minimize roster turnover. And the Lakers have kind of just gone, well, yeah, let's see how well that goes. They've got rid of, well, Rondo's gone. Dwight Howard's gone. They were obviously key rotation players in the finals. Avery Bradley wasn't in the bubble, but was a key contributor throughout the regular season, has gone. Loads of other guys are just, they're just gone, basically. Josh, are you concerned at all with the roster turnover? Can they make this new mesh of personalities merge? And how impressed are you with what they've been able to do?
Well, I keep reading every day. I keep my eyes on Anthony Davis because I'm starting to wonder. I mean, there was the whole thing with Danny Green on Instagram where supposedly he's giving it away by congratulating AD on his new contract. So everyone's 100% sure that he's going to re-sign with the Lakers. I mean, he's technically a free agent. But if he is indeed going back, then I can see the Lakers repeating straight away. I mean, look at it. You've got Dennis Schroeder coming in. He's going to replace Rajon Rondo, a much younger version. I'm not going to say whether he's the same caliber player, but again, you can only look at how he contributed for OKC in the playoffs. Harrell as well, sixth man of the year. I mean, that's a very, very big signing for them. That fills the gap. Dwight Howard and possibly, am I correct, JaVale McGee's been traded to Cleveland today as well?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Yep. So Gasol
opted in and traded out. Love it.
I mean, that's a replacement for them. I mean, Harrell will play that center role. Marc Gasol, being a very experienced player himself, a two-time world champion. Remember, he won the world championship in Spain in 2006, and not only in 2019, but also an NBA champion. There's an experienced big man for them. And Wes Matthews as well. I think he's a 13-year pro. I think with the Lakers, you won't see him average the same numbers he had last season with, I can't remember who was that last year, if it was Milwaukee for 67 games. But again, I can't see anybody challenging the Lakers in the West. I could be wrong with that, but I think with players like Schroeder and Harrell coming in, that's a big statement from the Lakers, especially if you've got Anthony Davis coming back, because the basketball that Davis and LeBron James played last year, I mean, it was unbeatable. Simple as that.
I think what worries me with the Lakers signings is that Gasol's being thrown around as if he's more than he currently is. Mm-hmm. But he is, you know, former Defensive Player of the Year, multi-time All-Star, excellent big man. He's also not been able to stay healthy now for a few seasons. And that worries me. Like, he's still smart enough where he could contribute in the 2019 finals run, where he managed to play excellent as good a defense as you can play on Joel Embiid. But there's not really been anything last year. So I'm intrigued to see what he can provide on the court. And certainly he's the big body. He can rebound, he can pass, he can do all of that. But he needs to be on the court. Montrezl Harrell, what a steal that is. 2 years, $19 million for the guy who just won Sixth Man of the Year, and picking up in the trade, picking up the runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year. They've suddenly gone from having no depth to having two of the best bench players there are in the league right now. It's a tremendous haul. Is there any risk at all that AD doesn't opt in? He's got to opt in. They've got a ring and a better roster. What motivation could he have for leaving?
I think it's just holding off so that they can get these deals done. But the thing is as well, even if he wanted to go somewhere else, which I don't know why you would, but there's no cap space anywhere now anyway. He's going to go back to the Lakers, I think. And with those guys that you touched on before, with Gasol and even Wes Matthews, who we've not mentioned that much, it's a good point for them in their careers as well, because all they've got to do is stand around the three-point line and try and knock those down when AD and LeBron drive and kick. So they are aging. They are getting into the mid to late 30s. But it's a good place as any to be at this point in time.
Oh, Wes Matthews is another steal, isn't he? 1 year, $3.6 million. That's just that's chump change. That's ridiculous for a guy who shoots basically 40% from three, despite coming back from a ruptured Achilles about three seasons ago, still can be a defensive presence. Mm-hmm. Did anyone else notice that Markieff Morris re-signed for the minimum?
Yeah, today, right?
Yeah. This is probably just me. I kind of feel like with his brother Marcus signing the $64 million 4-year deal with the Clippers, that he's kind of like, because they used to share salary when they were on the Suns, I want to say. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like he's the guy on the chase who takes the negative amount. You know, That doesn't work for anyone who doesn't watch The Chase, but just like, it just feels really weird that one of them's got 4 years 64 and the other one's on a bets minimum. Yeah. So
he knows someone else is going to cover for him, so he can take that.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I just need to get back. The money's already there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to another team. But just before we do, we're running a competition today. We have a digital copy of the next-gen NBA 2K21 mm-hmm. on Xbox to give away. So if you want to enter it, you've got to be watching live now. So good, unlucky if you're listening back on podcast. In the comments, you basically hit exclamation mark, NBA 2K21, and you are entered into it. You must be following us on Twitch. And we will randomly draw it at the end of the show. It's as simple as that. And you bag yourself a copy of the latest 2K21, which, for all intents and purposes, I don't have on an Xbox at all. And I don't have a PS5. So you'll have to tell me how good it is. I only have it on the retro PS4. It's retro now, isn't it? Who else has had a particularly good off-season for you? Josh, is there anyone who stood out to you? Because it certainly hasn't been your Magic.
Let's not even go there, please. It's never a magic moment. But, you know, I'm very interested. I'm intrigued right now about the Hawks, because picking up players such as Rondo, potentially Bogdanovic, that's very interesting for me, because if, you know, the idea with the Atlanta Hawks is they want to build the team around Trae Young for as long as possible. So if Rondo is officially signing with the Hawks, which I've been reading today, along with the potential of Bogdanovic, my question is, how is that going to work? And what I'm wondering with Rondo is he going to be the kind of player he was at the Pelicans when he went there, when he was having struggles with the Sacramento Kings? I think it was with the Dallas Mavericks. Is he going to go to Atlanta and revitalize that team as the point guard known as Trae Young? Or is he going there as a mentor player for Trae Young? Again, I think having players such as picking up Gallinari along with Bogdanovic, that's big for them, because they need to be more of a perimeter threat shooting team. And I think that's one thing they struggle. I mean, they've got Trae Young, but again, I'm very intrigued by that backcourt addition that they've made so far in the offseason, if all of it is to come together. But for me, it's more intriguing. I don't know if it's necessarily a win, but like I said, it's more, I wonder how that's going to work out. It could go really well for them. Rondo's presence could really galvanize Trae Young's career. He could learn from it, or it could have the opposite effect. Rondo could be going there to think, well, I'm still in my prime, I'm still going to run this show. But that's got me thinking, of course.
Yeah, see, I, for as much stick as Rondo gets, I think he's smart enough, having just played with the Lakers last season and come off the bench in that reduced role, to understand where he is in his career path. I also think we're going to see more of what he was like with the Bulls, where he was, you know, kind of outraged by the lack of culture the Bulls had in terms of, you know, trying to get players together to have dinner together, that sort of thing. And I actually think he's going to be a good, which sounds really weird, because yeah, he was an absolute tool when he went to Dallas, but he's actually going to be a good mentor for Trae Young. He's going to teach him about what it means to be, you know, essentially a pass first point guard. Not that I ever think Trae Young is going to be a pass first point guard, but I actually think he's going to really suit this mentor role. Tom, what's your take on Rondo to the Hawks?
I think I really don't like what the Hawks have done. I think you can tell there's a lot of pressure coming on them now to get into the playoffs. They're starting to get a little bit more desperate now. Trae Young's had time to settle in to find out who he is. I think 2 years, $15 million for Rondo is a lot of money for a mentor. And as well, like, people are forgetting, people are saying how good this is for the Hawks. He only turns it on in the playoffs, so they've got to get there first until he actually gets any good. I think the Gallinari signing is really desperate when you've got this young team that's on the way up, like we said, that just needs time to develop, to then sign a 32-year-old to 3 years, $61 million, when he didn't have a great playoffs. He'll be all right next year, but it's just not enough. And long term, I think it just ruins the timeline, really.
So that's the most money paid to a over 30-year-old who's never made an All-Star.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. And the fact that he's injured, like, Gallo is a fantastic talent, but the problem with him is always being able to stay on the court. So mm-hmm. I worry about that quite a bit. I do like the, assuming the Kings don't match, the 4 year, $72 million Bogdanovic role. I think that's, I can't believe the Bucks fluffed it. We'll probably touch on that in a bit. Mm-hmm. But I think they're putting together some interesting pieces. And they certainly will be stronger this year. I just don't think that's a good enough roster to be anything past the first round at the minute. Is that fair?
That's the thing, isn't it? You give up so much and then you sign these players to these massive deals just to make the playoffs, and then actually you're not going to go anywhere past the first round. Even now, to the extent where people are questioning where John Collins, who's been great for him, if he's going to be traded, because he's due a payday pretty mm-hmm. soon. And now that front court is getting pretty stocked up. So like, what's going to happen to him? I don't know. I'm a bit sad. I'm glad I'm not a Hawks fan. Big questions for them.
Glad you're not a Hawks fan, but you are a Boston fan. How are you feeling about your offseason?
Can we come to that later on? I need time to prepare.
All right. We won't talk about them yet. Okay, let's flip to the Pistons then. Has anyone got any clue what the Pistons are doing? They seem to be signing centers, basically. Mason Plumlee, 3 years, 25 mil. Jahlil Okafor, a two-year deal. Why? No one knows. I love it.
Have we got a tumbleweed sound effect, Kirk?
Yeah, throw a tumbleweed in there. I mean, Christian Wood's jumped ship. He was a player talked up quite a bit as being sort of a sleeper and was about to emerge that once Drummond had, you know, they'd moved off Drummond. I said a couple of weeks ago, Jeremy Grant was going to pick up about 18 mil a year, I think I said he was worth. So he's got 3 years at 60. People are saying that's an overpay. I don't think it is. I think that's still a good deal for him. I just think it's the wrong ball club for him to be a part of. And I just don't understand what they're trying to achieve. Mason Plumlee is great as your backup center slash power forward in terms of you've got a guy who can leap and pass. But 3 years, 25 million, I think you could have got a better deal. Or a shorter term deal at least. I don't know. I'm just not happy. Well, I say I'm not happy. I don't care either way. I wouldn't be pleased if I was a Pistons fan with what they've done.
Yeah, you just started to think like as the Pistons coming out of last year, they were getting off assets like Drummond, not getting much back, and you started to think, you know, maybe they're just trying to clear some space. They're going to start again. They're going to bring in some new free agents, and it started off well drafting Killian Hayes. I thought that was a decent pick for them. He's exciting. Got a lot of upside. He is young. And then they drafted Isaiah Stewart, who's another centre who no one expected to go at 16. So that was a bit of a stretch. And then from there, it just started to go downhill, as you said, signing all these centres. The weird one is they took on Tony Bradley from Utah for cash. And then now they've traded him for Zaire Smith, who they're going to waive for like $3 million. So it's very confusing. They've locked up some salary now for 2 or 3 years. With no real upside, just a lot of tall people that can't shoot. So,
and any thoughts on the Pistons, Josh? Any risk that they're going to be resurgent in the East anytime soon?
No, absolutely not. And I've got to say, Detroit would be my second team because growing up, my father was a big Larry Bird / Michael Jordan fan. And when I saw a video of these guys in blue jerseys beating those players up, I thought, oh, I like that team, of course. No, I was a big Pistons fan. In 2003, when Rick Carlisle was there and they got swept by the New Jersey Nets and followed them very adamantly when they made that trade for Rasheed Wallace the following season and ended up winning a championship and then coming up short against the Spurs in 2005. When Joe Dumars decided in 2009 to trade away Chauncey Billups for Allen Iverson and basically get rid of that championship caliber team, it's they're like a watered-down version of New York Knicks. They've just never really got better. I mean, they did make the playoffs once in, I think, 2016, but no, I don't know what their plan is, I don't know. I'll just leave it at that.
Not filling that new arena anytime soon if they do allow fans back anyway. Should we talk about the Bucks for a bit? Because they've had an interesting one. So very quickly, they traded for Jrue Holiday. Then they prematurely announced, it was leaked, I'm not saying they announced it, that they were acquiring Bogdanović in a sign-and-trade deal with the Kings. That ticked off a number of NBA teams because it reeked of tampering. And now that doesn't look like it's going to go through. So almost overnight, they went from having potentially the best starting five in the NBA to having, to questions being asked about whether they can even retain Giannis now when he comes up for free agency. They have picked up Torrey Craig, which I think is an excellent pickup. Bobby Portis, which I'm not really keen on at all. And then Brim Forbes, which is, okay, you've got some backup ball handling. Josh, do you think this is going to impact whether or not Giannis re-signs in Milwaukee?
If I'm Giannis, I'd leave. I'll leave.
Straight up.
Look, I think the thing is, I would not like to see Giannis leave. I'd like to see Giannis stay in Milwaukee and win them a championship. But what have we seen since the summer of 2010? Super teams is nothing new. LeBron James didn't create super teams. Super teams has been going since the 90s, if you like. Pippen and Barkley and Elijah won for the Rockets in 1999. That was a super team. But the fact is Giannis really going to sit and say to himself, I can stay here and bring a championship? Or, I mean, they're talking about James Harden possibly going to the Brooklyn Nets. So my thing is, for players these days, if everyone else is doing it, then you got it. Like, if Giannis wants a ring, he's got to leave. He's got to go to someone like Miami, I think, if they can make the cap space when it comes available. But me personally, I'd like to see Giannis stay. I just think it just goes to show with a team like Milwaukee that it really doesn't matter what your regular season record is. I mean, LeBron James, when he went back to Cleveland, how many times is he pushing to get the best record? Now, he's waiting for the playoffs. It's the playoffs that really count. And I think that just went to show when they met up with Miami. I was very inspired when they picked up the victory when Giannis went out with the final injury. When he was gone, I mean, Chris Middleton completely played out, but it wasn't enough. So I think right now they need as many players as possible to get into the backcourt, whether that's Drew Holiday, whether that's, I don't know who else they can pick up. But again, is that enough to convince Giannis to stay? With the way that the NBA climate goes with super teams, I honestly think Giannis is on his way out. That's my personal opinion. I don't want to see him leave. I would love to see him win a championship in Milwaukee, but just seeing how other players do it, how history has taught us, I think he's gone. His mind's set on South Beach.
So re-signing Pat Connaughton's done nothing to move the needle for you.
Who's again, Pat Connaughton? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, Giannis is a two-time MVP. He's already proven himself for two seasons to be the best player in the NBA during the regular season. But what he wants more than anything right now is that championship ring. That's who you're going to be remembered for when you retire from this game. And he's probably questioning himself right now. Can I win with this team in the playoffs? They messed up against the Raptors. Okay, he got injured against the Miami Heat. But again, unless you can sign a high caliber franchise bus driving player to go play with him, that would get him to stay. But again, I just can't see him staying at the Bucks.
Tom, think he leaves off the back of this offseason?
I think it's probably 50-50. The thing is, for Milwaukee, is it's going to be really tight because I think he'll give it a bit of time to see how it plays out with Drew and with the new guys that they brought in. And Milwaukee will be hoping that he stays because they've given up a lot for Drew, probably over the top for Drew, than what you would have given in any other scenario, which will all be worth it if Giannis signs. But then if he decides he wants to go, you've then got less than a season until he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. And so do you risk holding on to him and losing him for nothing, or do you decide, let's try and trade him and shop him and see what we can bring back? I wouldn't like to be in John Horse's shoes, their GM. It's going to be really tricky. Everyone was kind of like edging towards, yeah, they're going to resign when the Bogdanovich thing was going down. And now he's not going there. There's not been any news really coming out of the camp as to whether he's going to sign or not. So
we did have a listener question.
Yeah.
This. Richard Fang 8, shout out to him, who's very busy in our Discord. What do you think are some of the final pieces that the Bucks need to finally become a title winner? And do you think Milwaukee will be able to get a second star with Giannis? And if so, who would you like it to be? So, Josh, you kind of said that it's a small market, they're not going to sign anyone. So, you're from your perspective, they're not going to be able to get the pieces they need.
But Giannis needs, for LeBron to win the championship at LA, he needed Anthony Davis. Okay, to win championships, you need franchise players. And again, he's got a good supporting crew of players. Chris Middleton, Bledsoe. You know, that's a team that will get you 60-plus wins in the regular season. But we've already seen now twice in the playoffs. Fair enough, we came back from a lockdown, that it just wasn't enough. Now, Giannis did get injured. But I still think, honestly, Miami was on fire in the playoffs. I don't think anybody in the East could have stopped them. So if you want to win the championship, you have to bring someone to Milwaukee that is championship caliber, whether that be a point guard, whether that be another ideally a player that's not a similar position to Giannis. You know, mm-hmm. the way that LeBron and AD work, their games compensate each other. There's different positions. But again, unless you bring that franchise player, I can't see Milwaukee winning a championship and I can't see him staying.
Yeah, I think he's right. You've like, realistically, what have they got to give now? Because they gave up so much for Drew. Like, what was it, 3 first rounders and 2 pick swaps or something? And if that's how much a 30-year-old Drew Holiday costs, who's not quite an all-star, is that tier below? What now have you got
he's
to give
been
up?
An all-star. Chill the disrespect. He was an all-star, but probably in 2011, I want to say.
Yeah, not now. And like, if you want someone like Bradley Beal and you're giving up 3 picks and 2 swaps for Drew Holiday, how much more are you going to have to give up? I just don't think, unless somehow they can engineer it so they can get a lot of cap space, but I don't know if that's realistic in the next year. You know, it's not looking very likely that they can get anyone else of that caliber in if Drew doesn't work out.
Yeah, for me, I was convinced the personnel they had last year was sufficient. I certainly don't think that the bubble, the stoppage and the break and everything helped them in the bubble because they look like a totally different team. But I think there might be a system issue in that it's so predominantly Giannis gets the cup. If you can dunk it, great. If you can't, kick it out. Mm. And I agree there needs to be a second talent, but I think Chris Middleton can be that guy. He just hasn't been, certainly consistently in the playoffs last year, just gone. I think it's system, though, because at that point, we see Giannis getting injuries like sprains, and they're conditioning injuries a lot of the time. And he's benefited because the Bucks have been so historically good in the regular season from having reduced minutes. And I think it's like, if your body doesn't know how to play when you're sapped of energy and in your 42nd minute of a playoff game, you know, 3 or 4 games into a series, then how do you expect it to react and perform at the same level? Like, I think there needs to be a way where, and I'm not saying they should fire Bud, but they need a way of getting Giannis's minutes up, because the guy never plays more than 32 minutes a game. I don't think, as good as he is, if your body is conditioned over, what was it, 60-odd games before they came back, to only play 32 minutes a game, mm-hmm. then that's a heck of a jump to then have to play at a higher intensity and more physical style another, you know, 10 to 12 minutes. I think there's some fundamental issues they could fix in the way and style the team plays that might negate the need for such a, you know, because the chance of getting 2 top 5 players on the same team like the Lakers have got is basically slim to none.
Yeah.
Unless you are someone like LA and have the draw power of someone like LeBron. So I don't know where he could go and team up with someone to be that good. And I think that an alternative is they could change the way they play.
Yeah, you know, like you say, the thing is, it's not just, you can understand them resting Giannis a little bit in the regular season and limiting his minutes. It's just that frustration of when you get to the playoffs and he's still only playing like 30, 35 minutes. And then towards the end of these games, they're losing it. Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting if they stay with Bud again, which it would make sense to do because he's been so good in the regular season. And then they just fall to pieces again in the playoffs next year. Is the coaching, I mean, it might be too late by this point because Giannis could be leaving, but is the coaching something they look at as the core issue then after they've had all this roster turnover and it's still not working?
Yeah, I think he's good enough to lead the team to a chip. I'm turning into a Giannis stan. It's just where I'm going now.
Can I say one thing on that, actually? Because it reminds me a lot. They remind me a lot of the Phoenix Suns when Steve Nash joined in 2004. I think it was like 2 years in a row they had the best record in the West, and they were just, you know, D'Antoni was the coach. They were renowned for this high-tempo, fast-break basketball, similar to the way you see Milwaukee play in the regular season. Giannis likes to get rebounds, push the floor, get up and down, and get to the basket. You know, if you're, say, you're the LA Clippers, the LA Lakers, and you're a championship-contending team, and you're on a very long road trip where you got to play the Bulls one night, maybe the Pistons next night, and then your third game on that road trip is against a very hungry Milwaukee team that's going to play up and down. Fatigue sets in. So the point I'm trying to get is, where this team is so good in the regular seasons because they're such a transitional team. The way you defend, or the way these teams we saw they defended Giannis, was whoever's on him, you face guard him. And then whoever's not guarding him, you clog the lane. You force him to shoot the ball. And when they met up with the Miami Heat, you know, in the playoffs, you're not on these long road trips. You get time to settle and understand these teams. And I think Miami, the thing for them was, wasn't so much a defensive effort. It was just the Milwaukee Bucks went up against a Miami Heat team that just shut the lights out. So with an injury down to your best player like Giannis, that was it. It was lights out. But you're right. I think what Milwaukee has to do is when they have to make sure that when they get to the playoffs, they don't stop what they're doing. You know, they try to play their game as best as possible. But at the same time, they have to realize that, you know, whatever you did during the regular season, you have to ensure that you replicate it with the same, if not much more intensity and much more thorough understanding of who you're playing against in the playoffs. You can't just play this transition basketball in the playoffs. It doesn't work like that. Teams figure out how to defend you. So I agree with you. It is a system. It's possible you can lead them to a chip, but I'm going to stick to my gut thing. He needs one more player of a championship caliber to win that ring.
So we've had a flying tortoise. So where could he go then? Because you've said that no second player's coming to join him, which is fair. I can, you know, Milwaukee is not the most appealing of American destinations. Where do you think he'd go? Do you think Miami's the stop? That's where he's headed to, or is there somewhere else?
If he wants to win a championship, yeah, I would go to Miami. I mean, who they give up, that's a whole new... I'd have to look at the whole salary cap list. I mean, there's a couple of veteran players you'd have to drop there. But, you know, Miami's got a situation where they've got a very young Tyler Hero who's going to have to be demanding a lot more as he gets older, of course. So if I'm Giannis Antetokounmpo, I would just go to Miami. I wouldn't even consider flirting with teams like big market teams like the New York Knicks. I'd say if you want to win a championship, you go to South Beach. Simple as that.
Miami have played it beautifully because all the free agents that they've signed or re-signed this offseason, they've done it all on a one-year deal or like a one-plus-one with a team option. So giving Dragic that big payday, that's like, again, a one-year. So they're keeping that cap space open. That I don't think they'd have to make any more moves to take Giannis in next year. That's the guy that they've been waiting for, that they've made all the moves to prepare for. So they'll just be hoping that, you know, he decides to be an unrestricted free agent next year.
Someone else has done something clever like that. I can't remember who it is, but they've signed someone to 4 years. The first year is like 22, and the second year it drops to 19 to give them cap room for that off-season. Then it bumps back up again. That's the Raptors, isn't it? That's the Van Vliet re-sign. Okay, so who's had a bad free agency then? Who out there do you think has just had an absolute shocker? Tom, let's go with you first, because I can see you sort of smirking.
How long have you got? Yeah.
Not that long. We've got 27 minutes left and a ton of stuff to run through.
I mean, the elephant in the room, the Celtics have just had an absolute mare. You've got all these rumours coming into last week. You've got three draft picks. Surely they can't take all three. And then they still take two, even though they've got no roster spots. And don't move up at all, even though there was rumours coming out that they'd even try and get into the top three on draft night, which was always unrealistic. But giving people that hope was deadly, really. And then you've got this Gordon Hayward thing. It kind of comes out that he's looking to go somewhere else. And then we get this tease from Gary Washburn, who's a Celtics reporter, who comes out and says they're going to do a sign and trade with Indiana. There's talk of Miles Turner. And then what the sticking point is what else they get with Miles Turner. So Indiana want to give up Doug McDermott. The Celtics want either Oladipo or TJ Warren, which is just ridiculous. But I'm thinking bare minimum, we're going to end up here with Miles Turner and Doug McDermott. Not bad, considering Hayward wants out. And then about 2 hours later, you get this tweet saying he signed with the Hornets for $120 million, which is just unbelievable. So he's gone. We can't take anything back because of the way that the cap space is working. And then the big free agent that we get is Tristan Thompson, and that's it. So it's been absolutely devastating.
Well, you've got Jeff Teague as well. Relax. You've got Jeff Teague.
I'm not sure about that. The one team that I think has been worse off for this is Charlotte. And I think Jared Weiss said it best. He's another Celtics guy that he's not seen a deal to this extent where both teams have lost out. Yeah,
Josh,
it's not a great reason.
Anyone stand out for you, Josh?
I mean, I'd have to go with the Clippers right now. Just seeing Serge Ibaka at the moment. You know, the Clippers totally collapsed against the Nuggets in the playoffs. So you first thing you got to think is, well, we need to bring in reinforcements. We need to bring someone into the system. And so far, only seeing Serge Ibaka. For me, that's, I don't know. I mean, that's, I'd have to say the same thing. What are they doing when we're talking about the Pistons? I'm not quite sure. I agree with what you're saying about the Charlotte Hornets, but again, no disrespect to the greatest player of all time, who's just probably not the best owner in the history of basketball. We saw that with the Bobcats, and we've seen that with the Hawks. So whenever
he's definitely not the GOAT owner.
No, he's not. But the thing is, what makes me laugh even more, and I'm still wondering why he's done it. I mean, drafting LaMelo Ball for me was strange. Yeah. That was just the strangest thing. I would have thought Michael Jordan would have wanted, again, this is nothing against LaMelo Ball. I think both Ball brothers are good basketball players, but we know the sort of background they have with their father and the sort of media attention that's going to bring. But we'll get onto that in a minute. But going on to shockers in the free agency, yeah, I got to wonder, where are the Clippers gone?
Because I like the Clippers. I like what they've done. I think Ibaka gives them a bit more rim protection over what Harrell gave them. He gives them a lot of outside shooting, and it's not a bad contract for him. I think they've improved, if anything.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, in a vacuum, Harrell and Ibaka is... The gains are marginal, but the floor spreading, it's just whether Ibaka can... He's not the same guy he was when he was with the Thunder, yeah. So he's not got the same intensity that someone like Harrell has. But yeah, you're right, spreading the floor... and defensively, I think he's probably an improvement. But it's, I don't know, it's the bit that got me was the Morris signing, 4 years at 64. I was just, as soon as I saw that, I was just like, what? Why? Yeah. Why? Why would you do that? But, you know, maybe it's because the Morris brothers had some agreement so he could do the whole Chase thing. I'm gonna double down on my random British TV quiz show analogy from earlier. Yeah, Charlotte for me. $30 million a year for 4 years for Gordon Hayward. Why?
And what makes it even worse is it's not even that contract for Hayward. It's the fact that they had Nicholas Batum, who had 1 year left, 1 year left of his horror contract that was like $27 million a year. You're thinking, get to the end of this year and you're off it. You've got a bit of breathing space, and then they decide to stretch him for 3 more years, $9 million a year, just so they can fit in Gordon Hayward. So they're essentially paying Hayward $39 million a year. And just for context, they let Walker go because they didn't want to pay him, Kemba Walker. And they would only have paid him $36 million a year. It's just ridiculous.
It's mad, but I don't see who else. They've got to overpay because of who they are. No one's going there. It's not a destination.
They did draft Adam Morrison. Remember, that was pretty bad as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, he used to refuse to shower.
Yep.
Yeah, Google that, Tom. There used to be complaints about his BO on the team plane. The dude wouldn't shower. You know, I think he now lives in Seattle, like with in some kind of bunker with guns. But yeah, that's a whole other story. Okay, just a quick reminder: if you haven't already entered the competition, make sure you're following us and you enter in the Discord chat! !2K21. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about 2K, because there was 2K Fest on Friday. Did anyone catch any of that? I know that Tom did, because you managed to win a PS5 copy of the game.
Yeah, I did pretty well. So they were doing like these, I think they were giving like 17 codes out over like 10, 20 minute intervals. I thought, I haven't even got a next gen console yet, but I'm just going to try my luck for when I do get one. And then, yeah, about 2 minutes later after I typed the code in, it was still there. So did all right.
Nice. So basically 2K Fest was 24 hours. Around the world of celebrations of the game, essentially, coming out on both next-gen consoles. A friend of the show, Mo Moonsy, was on it for a heck of a lot during the UK section. And then we had more news. Well, I had a bit of a news announced then that they doubled down on today. The City of Birmingham Rockets Basketball Club have essentially become the first 2K Foundations Europe beneficiary. So they're getting some incredible new bits. They're getting a new facility. They're getting a minibus. They're getting extra funding for coaching sessions, to put them into schools and things like that, to really help promote grassroots basketball in the UK. Josh, I imagine this is something that's pretty big for you, just promoting the game over here. How awesome is it that something as big as 2K is supporting grassroots UK basketball?
The game of basketball in the UK needs as much support as possible. Mm-hmm. It's the second most played sport amongst young players here in this country, boys and girls. So anything as big with an NBA logo such as 2K can only help even more. I mean, we need the support because we need the government to realize the positive externalities of basketball for young players. And like I said, the more, the better. But hopefully it keeps coming and coming.
Tom, what was your thoughts to hearing this?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't fully understand what all of it meant, but it sounds good.
I'm not even going to bother explaining it then. But
I give a lot of credit to 2K because they were kind of a lot of the reason that I got back into basketball, because I got hooked on one of the old career mode demos and then that kind of drew me back in. So a lot of love for those guys.
I've got to say, your accent came right through there with hooked.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, that's Stoke. That's full on Stoke. Well spotted from the hooked.
Yeah, that's the one.
So yeah, it's I think it's fantastic. I think that 2K itself is a massive game over here, and it is similar to the way that Madden was a gateway game for people getting into the NFL. It's quite similar in getting people into the NBA, which is only a good thing. They're helping not only like a British club, but a particular city that needs more basketball. Man, I grew up near Birmingham and played junior national league for the Bullets, and I was gutted when that franchise went bankrupt, essentially. I think they tried again with the Knights. Is that right? They had a Knights team briefly for like a season or two? Or do they just...
Yeah, the Panthers in 2008, and then, the Knights in 2014, and both collapsed.
So it's anything to help support basketball in that area, because there's a ton of ballers out there. It's mad. But shouts to 2K for that one. Let's jump on to some listener questions. Oh, no, let's just, before we get on to the listener questions, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Raptors. Mm-hmm. So the Raptors will be starting the season in Tampa Bay. I saw a particularly annoyed Orlando Magic fan shout out Garrett Jones getting really frustrated with the Tampa Sports Arena showing support for the Raptors when, in his opinion, they should be showing it for the Magic. We've got a Magic fan here as well. Are you has this got you vexed as well that Tampa has the Raptors coming and now the Orlando are the third best team in Florida?
Sorry. First of all, shout out to Grant Jones, because lovely fella, we've spoken on the phone a few times. And when you said he's upset about this, he said to me on the phone in the summer during the lockdown, he was just talking about, I usually watch Orlando every Sunday, and when they lose, I'm not a very happy man after that. So I can just picture him having a fit at home about this problem.
It was brilliant. He was tweeted directly back to them, just like going absolutely off. It's amazing. I loved it. Tom, you, they're not in Buffalo, which is mm-hmm. good for your geography.
I know where Florida is.
You know where Florida is. Excellent. Good thing, bad thing, just a weird thing.
It's just one of the things that had to happen. Like, they had to be somewhere where there's other teams around them that they could, they can play a bit more often, and they're not going to have to do as much traveling and going through the borders that they would have had to do if they stayed in Canada. So it was there or around New York, which I now know is where Buffalo is. So, it's fine. It works for them.
Like you say, it's a move out of necessity. Roll on those vaccines coming through, and let's get the NBA players actually taking them. Shout out Michael Porter Jr. again. Nick's silly nonsense. Mm. This is one of the most popular parts of the show. So, with LaMelo Ball drafted, his name is a mashup of other NBA players' names. Your challenge is to create an impressive-sounding draft pick for 10 years' time that is a mashup of current or past NBA players' names and... He's written asses, but I think he means... I think he means assets. Assess. I completely misread that. And assess who has come up with the best name. Amazing. Okay, so...
Sorry,
Tom,
I'm just trying
this
to...
This is the kind of thing I imagine you spent 10 minutes on when you got in from work. Have you got a player name?
I'm just trying to Photoshop some combination and mashup of players' asses to make the ultimate prospect.
That's definitely got Kyle Lowry's in there.
I did spend too much time on it, but to no real success. I was trying to... My wife often mispronounces players' names and combines them into one because she just doesn't know much about basketball. And she often says Anthony Tecumpo as like Anthony Tecumpo with like some kind of Anthony Davis combination. So I kind of went off the back of that. I went for Kawilt Anthony Davis Tecumpo.
Kawilt Anthony...
Yeah.
Right, okay, you just thrown loads together. AD this is kind of what I've done for one of mine.
Go on.
So the first one's not mine. I've heard it before. It's two current players, and one of them is the other player's name plus some. So okay. Lamarck Gazoldridge.
Ah, see, that's a lot smoother than mine.
What?
That's perfection. You can't beat that. But the one I came up with for 10 years' time was Shaq von Kernash, who's a 7'2" beast who shoots 50-40-90 from the floor, but is unselfish to a fault, has a dicky back, and sometimes turns up out of shape.
Nice. So. I like the sound of that.
Josh probably doesn't have a clue what's going on right now. Did you?
No, I do. I remember we're looking at LaMelo Ball's name, but I've got one for you. I've taken four players.
Okay. Oh, this will be good.
Shaquello. LeBron Danovich.
What part of the world does that player come from?
Just like Serbian by like genetics.
Can we make up a country name as well?
Why not? Go for it. There are 370 or whatever that have been made up at some point or another.
The reason Bogdanovich had to come into this was when I was at the FIBA World Cup commentating, there was a player for the Philippines, because Philippines plays Serbia. So I'm watching Bogdanovich, I kid you not, take free throws from half court. Not even jumping off the floor. Just shooting free throws from half court. That's how strong he is and how great a shooter he was. Now, the guy guarding from the Philippines is called Roger Pagoy. So Roger Pagoy was like playing against his childhood hero. Roger Pagoy has changed his name in the Philippines to Pogdanovich.
That's great.
So people are actually questioning now, where does Roger Pogdanovich come? No, he comes from the Manila. He just changed his name to Pogdanovich.
Amazing. But in the Discord chat, the consensus opinion is Josh won that. We did have from Can Only Be One, Dravin Doncilyasova, which is just mad. Excellent.
Okay. Why would you go for Ilyasova as like the top prospect?
No idea.
Never mind.
Right, okay. So... Talking D, discourse on Discord. Come and join our Discord community. It is discord.me/doubleclutch. There's been a huge amount of chat, as you can imagine, this time of the year. Lots of 2K stuff firing off, lots of free agency chat. By popular demand, we're going to run a fantasy league. So if you want to be part of that, make sure you're part of the Discord. We're doing a quick, tally of people who want to be involved and what sort of fantasy league they want. So if you're interested in that, go over to our discord.me/doubleclutch. Let's get on to listener questions. So we've had one of them already.
Just to say, Max, sorry to interrupt. Just on the Discord stuff, just a big shout out to all the guys during draft night, because it was a lonely night sitting there up till like 4 o'clock in the morning with nobody to talk to. But the Discord was keeping everyone going, I think, trying to keep everyone awake. It was good to kind of share those reactions to the shocking picks with one another. So
I've got to admit, I woke up and read through all that, because there's no way I was staying up for that, especially after the way you'd sold it on the show previously about how boring it was going to be. And then you just added to it by saying how lonely and effectively rubbish it was staying up till 4 a.m. So I'm glad.
Well, it would have been if it wasn't for the Discord, definitely.
Yeah. So shout outs to Discord for putting together a better event than the actual draft. Okay, Jonah has asked, which front office has made the more astute move so far this season? So we've kind of answered it a bit, but are we talking sort of OKC racking up every single pick for the future, or would you say the Lakers with their acquisitions have been better for that? There are obviously other answers available. Josh,
I'd have to agree with that OKC, because what is it, something like 16, 17 picks over the next six seasons? In the first round?
Something extortionate. It's ridiculous what they've put together. But the reservation I have of giving it to them is for the reason that Tom hinted at a little while ago, talking about the Celtics. You know, it's all very well having all these assets.
Yeah.
But if you can't turn them into something down the line, then what good are they? Like, I get that they are great to have, but if you can't do anything with them, you've only got 15 spots you can fill on. What are you going to do? Just start waving players or not, in fact, not taking up their rookie options year after year? It's just, I don't know. I think teams that are getting the tangible asset, and I hate referring to a player as an asset, but they're like the actual physical player who's ready to go, I think I'm going to put them over the potential players.
I love what they've done, because it's exactly what I do on 2K. As you say, the first pick that they had, which they actually used, which is, I think, number 17, which they kind of did through the Timberwolves, they took Alexei Pokuševski, who I can't see playing a single minute of NBA basketball ever in his life, because he's as heavy as Kyrie Irving, but he's like 7'2" tall. It's just ridiculous. So they might have just thought, we've got all these picks, let's take a flyer and hope that it works out. But it, yeah, it's going to have to be better than that moving forward if they're going to get the kind of value that we all see him having.
No, I think that's pretty fair. Dave Kell 13. On a scale of 1 to Montrezl Harrell, which free agency signing has got you most excited / took you by surprise? See, I'm going to go way off the reservation here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go for any of the big names. And I'm going to say Damian Jones to the Phoenix Suns. Because no one cares about Damian Jones. Atlanta Hawks, big man. But he's a two-time champ. Admittedly, he was a bit part on the Warriors. But there was his second championship with the Warriors where for a minute, I think he came up from the G League and went straight into the starting spot with the Warriors. But through the first 2-3 months of the season, he had actually a decent case for an MIP candidacy, because he got injured in the end. But he was a phenomenal, like, just athletic rim. And I could see him working really well with Chris Paul. I think that's a steal. And I can see Tom just wetting himself.
No, I can't believe you've gone there as like the first
way off the reservation, because I was trying to pick something on you guys wouldn't pick.
Yeah,
but I think he's an underrated asset and a good pickup for him.
I don't think he's going to play.
If Ayton gets PED banned again, then at least they've got someone who can just fit in an athletic role.
But then they drafted Jalen Smith at 10 as well, who's another kind of stretch five, so I can see him playing more than Damian Jones, but I like him as a backup.
Don't shoot me down. Anyone for you then? Who's your? I can't remember what the question was. On a scale, you know, which free agency signing are you the most excited about, Tom?
I was just surprised, really, more at kind of the money that these shooters were getting. So you've got Davis Bertans and Joe Harris, that are like decent players, and obviously their biggest skill set is their shooting, but they are probably more well-rounded than they get credit for. But not to the extent where Bertans is getting 5 years, $80 million. And Joe Harris is like four years for $75 million for the Nets, which is what they probably had to pay to keep him. But for someone who was mainly just a shooter, that is a lot of money for, you're probably going to be, what, the third, fourth best player on your team.
I just think that's the way the game's going, isn't it? That is the in-demand, attribute. I can't even talk now. At the minute, so that's what the market price is. That's why someone like Wes Matthews becomes more of a steal. I do think that, you know, like the Blazers picking up Robert Covington, that kind of player, you know, when he eventually needs to earn more money, is going to earn a lot more than those guys did, because he brings the defensive side of it as well. Josh, anyone stand out for you?
I'm gonna have to wind up Grant Jones here and go to the Tampa Bay Raptors and talk about is he from New Zealand or is he from Australia? I still can't.
He's Australian, and I think we're going to go for like 5 weeks straight with a reference of him now. But yeah, he's Australian.
Yeah, come on.
But he was born in New Zealand. Am I correct?
You might be right on that, actually.
Right. This is what I was trying to figure out, because let's just go to rugby, for example. If a New Zealand player left New Zealand to go play for rugby, regardless if he moved there or not, I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand. I thought that was quite... Anyway, I'll stay off the whole politics situation. I just thought that was, you know, the two countries are quite big rivals, of course. But
the New Zealand national team are absolutely terrible, except when they played GB a few times.
They're better than people think, trust me. They are.
That's not a ringing indictment, though, is it? They're better than people think.
You want people think.
Yeah, exactly.
They are a good basketball team, okay? Pearl Cameron is a good coach. They've got a good set. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Aaron Baines of the Tampa Bay Raptors.
I can't believe I didn't say him. So thank you, Josh, for doing that on my behalf.
What do you go for? $14 million a year?
Something
yeah,
like that.
It was yeah. something good. I mean, it deserves it. People are talking about like Gasol leaving a hole on the Raptors, but I think Baines more than covers up for that. I think he's probably better than Gasol would have been in this next year.
Okay. Yeah,
second,
no.
Second best team in Florida.
Third. Oh, no, they are the second best team. I thought you were talking about the Magic again. Ben Bean 5, which Western Conference non-playoff team from last year has given themselves the best chance to get in this year? Tom?
It has to be the Suns, although I say that through gritted teeth because I never feel confident backing them. If they all stay fit, I think they're kind of a lock-in for the seventh or eighth seed. I like what the Timberwolves have done. I just don't think it's enough this year to make the playoffs, even if D'Angelo Russell... and Edwards kind of have a better year than people expect. So the Suns for me.
Is that the same for you, Josh?
I mean, that's a tough one because you'd obviously you'd have to go with the Suns, seeing as they went undefeated in the bubble and just came up short of making the playoffs. But again, I mean, the amount of teams you can never put a San Antonio Spurs team to the side, regardless of how poor they are compared to previous seasons. They still got the same ethos and philosophy under Greg Popovich. You got a young New Orleans Pelicans team. So they'll be hungry to make it as well. I mean, it's just too tough to call. Minnesota Timberwolves, give it a few more seasons, maybe two or three before they become a contender for the playoffs. But my gut feeling would say the Suns, but I think it will be competitive as usual because there are a lot of teams that will be fighting that eighth seed. Sacramento? Nah, can't see it.
Just a reminder, the Warriors didn't make the playoffs last season.
Ah, that's true.
Well, Clay's out now. They won't make it again either.
Are you,
that's what, a hot
you
take.
really? They're not even going to make the eighth seed?
No.
Steph, Draymond.
Wow.
Wiseman.
Wiggins. They've made some decent moves, you know, around the fringes. The Warriors have done all right. With the free agents and the people that they've managed to bring in.
I'd take that back. They'll be an eight seed at least, probably, yeah. They will, yeah.
Maybe you forgot that they signed Brad Wanamaker. So.
I was disappointed they didn't get Gasol, if I'm completely honest. I was hoping that they would. Flying Tortoise. Believe it or not, this is a serious question. Can we get a serious chat about, I can't even say seriously, can we get a serious chat about the Knicks? How would you rank their off-season and chances for the upcoming season? I don't know what he means by chances, because if he means chances of a championship, then that's not a serious
Next
question.
Playoffs.
I don't know what he means by a serious chat about the Knicks either. What does he mean?
Well, it's okay. So I give Flying Tortoise his dues, a long-time listener. Mm-hmm. I think the Knicks have done well by Knicks standards this season, or off-season. They
You're
have
taking
not,
the piss, right?
No. What they haven't done is completely mess things up for next season. Like, as in, next off-season, when they will still have cap space. They're only signing guys to... They've restructured the front office. We've had no dramas apart from the idiot in charge refusing to speak up for BLM for months. We've had Tom Thibodeau put in at coach, who some people will mock, but he gets teams ahead of where they were. He makes teams better, full stop. So I'm not expecting this team to do anything, but to quote you literally 2 minutes ago when you were talking about the New Zealand Tall Blacks, I'm going to say this team are better than people think because we think they're absolute dross and they're going to be a little bit better than that and show some sort of just glimmer of promise. I'm not saying they're going to do anything significant, but
I can't tell
going
you
about
being
the rebuild.
Taking the piss here. I can't. Mike, look, number one, Tom Thibodeau is a good basketball coach. But Tom
Correct,
Thibodeau,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Tom Thibodeau, number one, at the Bulls, he messed it up when he decided to play Derrick Rose and that, when they were already winning by 20 points, like 2 minutes, and then
against
that
the 76ers. Yeah,
okay, that was the beginning of Rose's injuries. I credit the work he did at the Timberwolves by getting them back into the playoffs for the first time since 2004. But again, the relationships broke down. I think it's a good move for him to go to the Knicks. It's a good move because there's no good players that he could either injure and no real good players he can develop any bad relationships with.
It's the least damage.
Sorry.
You're saying good a lot.
Okay. All I'm saying is this. When I think of the New York Knicks, I just listen to the great, the GOAT, Stephen A. Smith. And I just take every word he says because he calls them his sorry New York Knicks. And literally, there's never an empty seat at the Garden. Why? Because it's on Broadway. You could have a night out and go for a date at Madison Square Garden. Just make sure you're looking for who's playing the other team. Look, I love the Knicks. The Knicks in the 90s were a great team. Early 2000s when it was Sprewell, Houston, before Stephon Marbury got there as well. That was a decent team in 2002. But just since, what's the owner's name?
Dolan. James Dolan.
Yeah. When Isaiah Thomas came in 2005, 2006, man, if that was a ski slope, you'd be skiing for like hundreds of miles. I mean, the NBA needs the Knicks to be good. But if you're going to ask silly questions like, can we have a serious question about the New York Knicks? Teams are probably looking at the Knicks like, I'm going to get my stats up on that night. Like, wow.
So the overall consensus is that they don't have any shot at anything next year.
I think you've been on some of that crazy weed that Harry was taking last week.
They're a lot worse than people think. Right, okay. We're running over now. Kirk, do you want to do the draw whilst we just quickly go over this?
Yeah.
You can tell us who's the winner. But just quickly, we've got no games to watch, so I want you to recommend a documentary, a basketball documentary, obviously, not just some random thing, other than The Last Dance, that people should watch before the season starts.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to kind of take on your guys' suggestions because I have not watched as many as I should have. I've got The Carter Effect ready to watch, so I just need other suggestions from you guys.
Carter Effect's good. Once Brothers is fantastic.
Yeah, like, very sad as well.
Yeah, bring you to tears.
Mm.
Is that it? So are we going with Carter Effect and Once Brothers?
Other than that, I've got a 2008 Celtics documentary on DVD.
Oh, is that when they go to Italy in the preseason? Remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube, House, I think.
What was it? Ray Allen says to Eddie House, "You're the best shooter in the world." And Eddie House says, "Yeah, I know." He says, "Oh, you agree with me on that one, of course." But yeah. If you like 30 for 30s, you've got the Piston Bad Boys, you've got Lakers Celtics rivalry, and then you've got the greatest thing that will ever be the best thing in the history of the Magic ever, that Magic moment. But go personally, YouTube is great. Just type in NBA 90s. It's called NBA Entertainment. Fast and Furious Finishes, NBA 2000s. Yeah, just anything on YouTube. That's how I spent lockdown. I mean, I don't have a life, to be honest.
First lockdown I spent watching reruns of Hang Time. So,
yes. Oh, what's his name?
It's not a documentary, though.
Former Bulls and Magic player. What's his name?
The what, sorry?
The coach.
Reggie Theus. Reggie Theus.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the coach. Yeah, brilliant. Excellent.
It's terrible. I realised I hadn't seen the first series because I didn't even recognise the theme tune to the first series. It was totally different to the iconic one.
The gambling series where he has to bring Kobe Bryant in to defeat the bullies that are trying to win the money off his team.
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember the one when Teddy was smoking as well. Naughty Teddy. Stay off them cigarettes. All right, Kirk, have you done the draw? Do you want to come on this or do you want to send me or tell me who the winner is? Okay.
No,
he sent it through. The winner is at Magic Fang. So MAGICFANG, Magic Fan G. I bet that's Geraint.
No, it's Geraint's family member probably.
So congrats to Magic Fan G. You will have a copy of NBA 2K21 on Xbox. You just need to get in contact with us, so drop me an email or slide into the DMs, whatever you prefer. Email admin@doubleclutch.uk or just DM us on Twitter or some other way that you manage to get in contact with us, because we'll definitely be able to prove who you are based on a username. It's it's cool. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Just before we do go, Josh, where can people find you? Online, I mean.
Well, if you want to see my obnoxious tweets every day, you can find me on Twitter. That was probably where I'll be about 100 times per day, at JoshBet1. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Basketball Champions League coverage, once a week right now because of the new schedule coming in. You'll see me trolling Mike Miller on Twitter as well.
Standard. You know,
whatever love. our mutual friend Mike that we spoke about in our last podcast. I won't mention any names, of course. You know, the one that always tells us we're getting things wrong. Do you remember?
Yeah. No, I knew who you meant by mutual friend.
You'll see me trolling him quite a lot, but no.
Nice.
Like I said, if you see me on Twitter, have a debate, we'll have a laugh. You know, we'll talk about how great, bad the Orlando Magic are, my beloved Magic, and look forward to the Tampa Bay Raptors now. You know,
where's the BCL now? Is that YouTube?
So yeah, Basketball Champions League is livebasketball.tv, mm-hmm. but some games do get previewed on YouTube per week. But this weekend is the continental qualifiers for Eurobasket, Asia Cup, Americup, I can't remember, and FIBA Afrobasket too. I'll be covering 9 games in 4 days. I'll be covering Great Britain's game against Montenegro on Sunday. So, lots of games to cover, but look out for Great Britain's 2 games against France, and then Sunday, the game I'll be covering against Montenegro.
Awesome. Thank you. And if you're not already following us, it's at Double Clutch UK, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you're also part of the Discord chat, discord.me/doubleclutch. If you're listening back to this, you just missed the chance to win an Xbox game. Head over to twitch.tv/doubleclutch UK. What's going on with me today? I cannot talk at all. It's because I've got 4 screens going because I've got no tech anymore. Shout out to Kirk for producing it as always. You can find Tom Hall at TomHall789. I'm Mike Miller _time. Thank you to everyone who's watched today. We'll see you again soon.
See you later.
I wake up every morning and wish that I could play basketball with my friends, but then I remember that I am a horse.